Welcome back to another sci-fi episode where psychology and finances collide. Today, we're going to examine how we think, feel, and behave with money as it relates to pain. I took a continuing education on psychological approaches to working with individuals enduring chronic pain. And I couldn't help but note the similarities with chronic physical pain and chronic financial pain. So I thought I would bring those findings to you today and just have somewhat of a metaphorical and analogous stance with chronic pain as it relates to chronic financial pain. So shout out to Dr. Rachel Allen, who put a lot of these things together. And just to kind of jump in, as healthcare providers are recognizing and addressing the cumulative challenges associated with chronic pain, so is this sci-fi platform. I'm here to provide you education. I'm here to assist you in moving away from financial pain and towards financial release or financial freedom. A little information about what chronic pain is or what chronic disease is and how it's defined. It has to last more than 12 months to be considered chronic, and something that requires ongoing intervention and also reduces your quality of life. And that's exactly what happens with chronic financial pain. This is someone who's been battling financial issues for more than 12 months, requiring ongoing interventions, usually in the form of applying for loans and things of that nature just to survive, and in that manner, reducing their quality of life. So I want to validate for you that these approaches are here to tackle the psychological, emotional, relational, and behavioral challenges associated with chronic financial pain, just like a physician or physical therapist or others in the medical field would provide for chronic pain patients. I strategically designed the 2026 sci-fi class schedule as clinics so that we can start addressing the hazards to our wealth. And now you can think of this podcast as your adjunct pain management clinic or financial pain management clinic. So let me go over some common challenges that are associated with living with chronic pain. And again, this is addressing chronic physical pain. But just as with chronic financial pain, chronic pain specialists, they're showing that all of these areas are impacting a person's life when dealing with pain. And that includes your biological or physical self. There's pain, discomfort, fatigue, insomnia, limitations in mobility and functioning. I mean, we can see where those biological and physical challenges impact us financially as well. We have that financial pain, that financial discomfort. We also experience financial fatigue. I don't know what else to do. I don't have the energy anymore to tackle this. Everything I've tried isn't working. Or we lose sleep and we're limited in upward mobility and movement, and our functioning is impacted. Same thing with another area or another challenge, and that's your emotional and mental health. Not only do chronic pain patients experience depression, anxiety, substance abuse issues, grief and loss, stress, uncertainty, and fear, but so do those people who are dealing with chronic financial pain. And then you have the social challenge. It's a relationship strain. You'll see that obviously within financial strain as well. Reduced participation in life or with other people, isolation. And I'll talk more about this isolation epidemic a little bit in the coming episodes. And then, of course, there's the financial challenge with chronic pain patients. And then there's identity and self-concept challenges where there's a stigma You're redefining your identity. You're changing a role in your life, perhaps taking on the role as the person who's cared for rather than the caregiver that you're used to. And then you have that sense of lost autonomy. And the same thing happens. You can, again, see how that works within financial pain. And then self-management issues. And especially with chronic pain patients, you'll see that they have these complex regimens that they have to keep up. And then their time management skills either have to be constantly tried or changed. And the lifestyle changes that come with that. It's the same thing with chronic financial pain. So as you've heard then, just like chronic physical pain impacts all areas, not just physical, chronic financial pain impacts all areas, not just financial. So I thought something very interesting with this presentation was the Centers for Disease Control, or the CDC, found three behaviors that led to four chronic conditions that resulted in 50% of premature deaths. And as I looked at this visual representation, I couldn't help but see three financial behaviors that lead to four chronic financial conditions that results in premature death of personal sovereignty. Let me talk a little bit about first what the CDC has pointed out. The three behaviors, poor diet, tobacco use, and physical inactivity, led to four chronic conditions such as cancer, heart disease, diabetes, lung disease, and also resulted in 50% of premature deaths. So it's the same with financial pain or financial issues. So I came up with three financial behaviors that lead to four financial chronic conditions that lead to premature retirement, delaying retirement, or again, premature death of personal sovereignty. And those three behaviors are poor budgeting, high credit use, financial inactivity that lead to debtflation, or think of debt inflammation, depression, instability, anxiety. And so all of these things, you can see how there's a shockingly similar storyline with chronic financial pain as you would see with chronic physical pain. This is a powerful parallel when we're looking through that financial pain lens. And this is exactly what I see in session. I see that poor budgeting or chronic overspending that is leading to that debtflation, or the high credit usage that is leading to depression, or the financial inactivity or financial avoidance that's leading to instability and only increasing anxiety. And by the way, depression, instability, and anxiety, whether it's financial related or not, these are shown to lead to high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and heart disease. So yeah, we have every reason to want to do something different and change these three behaviors that lead to delayed retirement, premature retirement. And when I say premature retirement, it's probably because you're too sick because of the physiological issues that have resulted from the chronic financial issues. Or it may not have been that at all, but if you haven't prepared yourself for the things that may come financially, then yeah, it becomes a very difficult place for you to be in. But the good thing is that even a small intervention in any of these three behaviors can extend your life or increase your quality of life. There was also a vicious cycle image called the self-reinforcing vicious cycle. And this in no way is meant to make people feel badly or judged about how they've been managing their finances. But it does go to show that mental health issues can increase a chronic disease. So if you are experiencing a high level of depression or anxiety because of the three behaviors associated with chronic financial pain, then it only reinforces more pain. And then that extended pain further contributes to more mental health issues and distress. So that's just that self-reinforcing vicious cycle if it's not interrupted. And they even found that patients with serious mental health issues decrease their life expectancy 10 to 20 years than the general population due to preventable chronic issues. And so if I could just change up the wording, if we could just change up some of those things that occur in our mental health as a result of poor financial practices or the three behaviors, poor budgeting, high credit use, and financial inactivity or avoidance, if we could just create fissures in that cycle, then perhaps we can prevent this from becoming an ongoing chronic issue and therefore increase our life expectancy and our quality of life. One of the things we were reminded of in the class is that so much of disease, whether physical or this analogy that I'm presenting today on financial disease, so much of disease management is self-management. We don't get the doctor who diagnoses us to come live with us and walk us through every moment of our day, or the physical therapist to walk us through every moment of our day. We are taught to manage our treatment plans and to take the reins and to become a little more independent of the professionals and become our own professionals and become our own advocates. And that's the same with finances. Is I'm here to provide education, and I would hope that you take this education and you gain some level of motivation and encouragement to do something different. And so much of chronic financial pain is preventable. So here's a little more on chronic disease and mental health comorbidities, two things that are co-occurring together. Depression and anxiety is found within 30 to 50% of chronic disease patients. Insomnia or sleep disturbance, 50 to 80% is found within chronic disease patients. And then, of course, chronic pain, 52.4%, and substance abuse, 10 to 20%. So imagine what the percentages for chronic financial pain would be. We know that you're already feeling a little anxious and depressed. And if this is truly chronic financial pain, it's not just a little, it's a lot. We know that you've probably already lost sleep over this and maybe have developed some level of sleep disturbance or insomnia. And perhaps the chronic financial pain is exacerbating another physical issue that you already have that does result in chronic pain. And I really hope that it doesn't lead to a substance abuse issue, but many times people do want to self-medicate within chronic financial pain situations. So, and then there's also suicide risk. The loss of role and loss of future events, whether perceived or real, increases suicide risk. So even if these percentages aren't as high as they would be for physical pain, they do exist. And even if your chronic financial pain doesn't meet any of these diagnoses that I just mentioned, it still leads to distress. And here's what distress does to our bodies. The National Cancer Institute defines distress as emotional, social, spiritual, or physical pain or suffering that may cause a person to feel sad, afraid, depressed, anxious, or lonely. People in distress may also feel they're not able to manage or cope with changes caused by normal life activities. And what normal life activity is financial management, right? Or by having a disease. So The National Cancer Institute also discusses financial distress. They see a lot in their patient demographic because a lot of these cancer patients are having to sell their assets to gain specialty care or other trials, clinical trials, or experience those and sign up for those and pay for those and pay for hotel visits and those things. So they understand that financial distress plays a big part in how this patient is going to, or at least in prognosis. And so they're talking about how financial distress impacts the quality of life. And they give it several different terms, also known as economic burden, economic hardship, financial burden, financial hardship, financial stress, and financial toxicity. My goodness. And here are all the things that result from distress. They can present themselves as physical manifestations, emotional manifestations, psychological manifestations, behavioral manifestations, social manifestations, spiritual manifestations, and physiological stress responses that compound the effects of everything else, and they all impact quality of life. So you can see the manifestations of financial chronic pain, just like physical chronic pain, are not just financial or physical. And this really shows the invisible nature of pain. Your physical pain can be diagnosed many times through imaging. Yeah, you have a broken bone, but that's a physical manifestation. But all the emotional, psychological, behavioral, social, spiritual, relational, all of those things, that is the invisible nature of that accident or incident. And it's the same with financial incidents as well. There are a lot of folks that just don't understand the invisible nature of what came with that financial pain. Let's get your chronic financial pain managed. Your life depends on it, as we see with all these stats. We talked a little bit about quality of life. So what are the impacts? And I love how one physician put it, the impact to your quality of life is really the story of your illness or the story of your chronic financial pain. It reduces mobility. What if we could increase our financial flexibility? Then there's also grief and loss. Maybe you're grieving a part of you that was never really you. Maybe you were acting rich on credit and you never were rich. But now the over-indebtedness is costing you and might even cost you your job, especially if you're a federal employee and have a security clearance. So you were already on borrowed time. Or you're grieving a real part of you. You were well-to-do, but the divorce left you penniless. Or you're severely depleted and your standard of living is depleted. So now there could also be loss of autonomy, requiring adjustments in your self-perception and your identity. Then there's that relationship distress, which could lead to isolation. And the Surgeon General has issued a warning with isolation now as an epidemic. It's more dangerous than smoking 15 cigarettes daily. They're finding that it's kind of isolation and loneliness and lack of connection are showing the similar physiological and psychological patterns of smoking 16 cigarettes a day. And we live in the loneliest time on record. And he's also saying that loneliness and lack of connection is deadlier than obesity, linked to high blood pressure, depression, heart disease, stroke, Alzheimer's, and that's due to an increase in inflammation in your body. And then rejection and isolation is also a part of that, and it works on the same neural pathways as pain. And so they talk about how pain hurts. And all of these things do hurt. The chronic financial pain, the melody of the different pains that you feel throughout every month. Yeah, all those pain hurt, but the struggle with the pain is what increases the suffering. So the struggle is the reduced mobility, the grief and loss, the relationship distress, the isolation. But pain, regardless of whether it's physical or mental or social or work-related, they all work on the same neural pathway and is interpreted as pain. And let me just pause here and validate that some might be rejecting the notion that chronic financial pain and chronic disease are two peas in a pod. I never want to invalidate someone who is experiencing chronic pain or someone experiencing chronic financial pain, because either one of you could be saying, look, I'd rather be someone not experiencing chronic pain and rather be in the shoes of someone only experiencing chronic financial pain and vice versa. But I do want to validate that it is difficult, regardless of which you're hurting with. And so here's a couple of examples of chronic financial pain and what the hurt might include. And that includes living paycheck to paycheck, underemployment or stagnant wages, overwhelming credit card debt with high interest rates, medical debt from unexpected illness or injury, having no emergency fund, which leaves you vulnerable to unexpected expenses, insufficient retirement savings, leading to anxiety about the future, dealing with the financial fallout of a divorce or other major life event, and being a victim of financial fraud or scams. But the struggle, with all of those pains and the hurt, the struggle is a lot of times found in those cognitive distortions where you catastrophize, where the pain is you receive a large unexpected bill, and the struggle is you're telling yourself this is a complete disaster, that you'll be ruined, you'll probably lose your home and end up on the streets. And this only amplifies anxiety and a sense of hopelessness. But that's just an example of the difference between pain and suffering, and how when we're not managing pain or we're not challenging those beliefs that come with the pain, we're only increasing our struggle or our suffering. Obviously, with chronic financial pain, there's no X-ray or imaging that will diagnose our exact root cause of financial pain, but we are very aware of the pain. And we know that there's a slew of psychological, emotional, and social factors that impact what your next steps might be. And yeah, we have financial experts that tout what the norms and recommendations for financial well-being, what they might be. There are some rubrics out there. But just like lab tests, there are within-range data points that measure stability, but there are human behaviors at play that keep us from engaging in the prescribed behaviors or treatment plan. So if only we got those guidelines and stuck to them, just like with the physical side. If only we got the nutritional information and stuck to it, or the exercise guidelines, but we naturally tend to rebel. The thing that keeps us from doing those things is how we think or how we believe, and that impacts our financial behaviors. So no wonder the top gold standard evidence-based practices for managing chronic pain work with your thoughts, building on self-efficacy. And yeah, there will be some clients that may be amenable to simple education when it comes to chronic financial pain, like budget counseling and creating a debt repayment plan. But there's a difference between acute care and chronic care. Acute financial pain didn't have over a year to fester, fueling or feeding faulty beliefs that further ensnare you into habits that maintain this vicious cycle. It's the chronic financial pain that began as a manageable issue that has grown or metastasized into something more overwhelming and seemingly hopeless, making you believe the prognosis is bleak and therefore there's no reason to try from here. This is where chronic pain patients and their physicians, providers, and family, friends get frustrated. It's patient resistance or lack of adherence to the treatment plan due to frustration with your body and fear of the future, most notably fear of future flare-ups. There is this complexity to pain, whether it's physical or financial, It's hard to just choose one area to focus on because of that complexity. It's not just something going on with your budget or your income. There's a mountain of debt that is with that, or compound that with a recent divorce, and now you're a single mom or a single father. And there are so many things within that pain that lead us to resist doing something different with our money. And it leads to all or nothing thinking. If I can't get back to where I was, then I don't want to do it at all. And that's actually one of the bigger thought patterns that folks will see in chronic pain management. If I can't run like I used to, then I don't want to go through this physical therapy. Or if I can't get back to playing with my grandchildren the way I used to, what's the use in even in doing these? Because it does cause pain in the healing. And so it's the same with financial pain and financial healing. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to adjust your budget in such a way to where it feels like you are constantly restricting yourself and on a financial diet. Just like we would work with chronic pain patients and family to normalize and validate the pain, we want to go from shifting from judgment to curiosity. And maybe even reminding people that compassion and validation can reduce suffering. It's when we're not receiving those things that it actually can perpetuate our pain and increase suffering. So likewise, when addressing chronic financial pain, it's not about completely obliterating the pain. That's impossible. Pain is simply a signal to do something different. But we can certainly build your financial immunity by isolating and challenging cognitive contagions. So just like beliefs and thoughts are what perpetuate physical pain, thoughts and beliefs also perpetuate chronic financial pain. But the same is true that they can also perpetuate movement and doing something different and lead us toward our goals. So with chronic financial pain, we might have catastrophic thinking and negative beliefs that lead to depressive emotions, angry emotions, anxiety, which leads to behaviors such as avoidance and withdrawal. So the goal of this, of what we'll be talking about in the next episode with cognitive restructuring and tackling those thoughts, is to reduce the negative impact of chronic financial pain, reduce the suffering and the pain intensity and the distress. We would also want to intervene by increasing coping skills, disrupting that pain and avoidance cycle, and finally doing something different with our money already, which might be increasing our tracking of our spending and thereby improving functioning and quality of life. And again, not just focused on symptom reduction and what we're seeing in our bank account, but just focused on, let me just have a better quality of life by doing these simple things. And then also learning how to increase self-efficacy. So the core components that we'll be talking about, because we'll get into cognitive restructuring, we'll get into cognitive diffusion, mindfulness, behavioral activation, communication skills, activity pacing, all the things that health providers use with chronic pain patients that could also be used with clients with chronic financial pain. So that includes, like I said, all those things that will help in that reduction. I hope you join us next time for the next episode to continue on with hope for a future and reducing that financial pain. So remember to join us for our next pain management clinic on cognitive restructuring and cognitive diffusion. And remember to rate us wherever you listen. Thank you.